Matthew 16. The last 3 weeks I've been looking at the thought about, can we trust? During a day like we're living, we need to realize and recognize without any shadow of a doubt that there's someone, something, somebody that we can trust. I've said several times that word trust means to depend on. It means to trust. I use the illustration about going up on Pilot Mountain and seeing those rock climbers going up and down the rocks. They were able to do that because of the rope, of course, that they had. But that rope was anchored, was tied to an anchor, a bolt that was in the rock at the top of the mountain. And they literally were trusting their lives to the rope, to the anchor, to the rock. And as I've said already, I wasn't strong enough to suit me. It didn't matter how big the rock was or the anchor, how deep the anchor was or how strong the rope was. I wouldn't have depended on it, but they were. They were trusting it. And that's what trust means. It means to put your life into the hands of someone or something. We will trust somebody or we will trust something. A lot of people are trusting themselves, depending on their own abilities. I tell you what, that'll fail every time. You'll be disappointed. A lot of people trusting other people, and that'll be disappointing, and it'll fall and falter. But I'm glad that when we trust the Lord, we'll never be disappointed. And I have mentioned, can we trust? Can we trust God in these days, in these somewhat difficult days? I mentioned first, can we trust the Scriptures? And I answered myself by saying, yes, you have a Bible you can trust. That's one of the reasons why the devil's trying to change it, to rearrange it, to do away with it, or to try to get us to ignore it. And then I said also, can we trust the Savior? Can we trust the one who died for us? Is his salvation secure? Is it enough? Or do we have to add something? Do we have to live in a certain way to help God save us or to protect us or provide for us? And I said again, we can trust the Savior. Then last week, can we trust the saints? Now this gets a little bit risky, but we can trust saints. We can and are supposed to and need to trust each other. Surely you can be hurt and disappointed. We will hurt others and others will hurt us. But we can still trust the saints. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad God puts people in our lives to help us. And you can trust that tool that he placed in your life to help you to get through what you're going through. But then this morning, I want to ask you this. Can we trust the sanctuary? When I first started this series, I thought about this truth, and that was at least a month ago. And I thought, I sure hope by the time I preach this, we'll be back in the church and we'll have what we might call a normal service or be back to what we call a regular routine. Well, that didn't help that. It didn't work out that way. But in spite of where we're at, whether we're inside or out in the parking lot, the truth I'll mention this morning is still factual. I say this morning, can we trust the sanctuary? I mean by that, the church that you're a part of. It is something God has established, has ordained to help us, to encourage us, to rebuke us, to direct us. And it's something we can depend on. It's something we can trust. Now, before I get to where you're at, I want to read Acts 2:46. And they continuing daily in one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. The early disciples did not have a building like we do. So they continued to meet in the temple. But then also they began meeting house to house. Aquila and Priscilla had a church in their house. Other places in the New Testament we find that people had churches inside their house. That's how they began. But they had a place where God could meet with them. They had an established place where they could go and meet God. And then in the verse I want you to look at in Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Peter is being told about the church that Jesus is going to establish and even already at that time beginning to work on. And he says, it's a church. I will build my church. The word there means one thing, it means a congregation. He was not talking about a building, and neither am I so much this morning. I'm talking about people, but there also is a place where people are to come to meet. Look in the scripture. Adam and Eve met God at a place in the garden. The people of Israel established a place called the tabernacle. Friend, I want to tell you what, taking that tabernacle down, carrying it, especially through the wilderness, and then setting it back up was not easy, but they had a place, and they saw the importance of the place where they could meet God. Later on, the temple was built. Millions and millions of dollars was spent on this building, but it was a place where God's people could come and meet Him. It was a place where God could meet with His people. So we find clearly, and no doubt about it, there's a place that God has established. I call that True Gospel Baptist Church. It's not the only church, but it's our church. It's my church as a member. It's your church as a member or as a regular visitor. And I want to ask you this morning, can we trust the sanctuary? Can we trust the church? Surely there's people here, and that means that we will fail. But as an established organism, the church is something you can trust. Is something that you need, like those climbers on Pilate Mountain. They needed those ropes, but they trusted those ropes. They enabled them to do what they desire to do. And this church building, this place that you've come this morning, is established by God to help you do what God wants you to do. It says in Isaiah 2, verse 3, "Come ye, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Talks there about a place, and it says at that place His word will go out, and those who receive the word will go out and live the word. And they say, let's go to the house of God. Let's go to that place where He meets us. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?" Now, there's no doubt this morning, we are, Christians, the church of God. The Spirit of God lives in us. There's no doubt about that. But He also has established a place to meet with His people. And we need to realize the things that I mentioned this morning about the church can be applied to this building that I stand outside of this morning. Acts 7:38 talks about the church in the wilderness. Even in the Old Testament days, God was meeting with His people and working to them and through them as they met together. This is a church. It's an established church. It's a God-ordained church. And the Bible is our guide. It's our instruction manual. We go by it and not man's law, even though we are under man's law. God's law is above man's law. And that was established, what we're supposed to recognize and follow as a church. 1 Corinthians 5:12 says, "Do you not judge them that are within?" God put so much authority on the church that He said, there's some things you can handle inside the church. You don't have to go outside. There's some things you handle as a local assembly. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:1, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints?" It tells us again, the church is something God has ordained. And He has given us authority. He has given us power. He's given us the right and even the responsibility to take care of ourselves, to govern our lives, to make sure we're doing according to the Bible, according to God's Word. Now I ask the question again. Can we trust the sanctuary? I say this morning we can. But why do I say that? I say it first because of Satan's persecution. Did you hear what Jesus said? He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, you won't lose, because I'll make sure you don't. My church will win. I'll make sure it does. But he also warns us, there will be an attack. The gates of hell, the authority, if you will, of evil, the devil and all his crew will attack the church. That means he will attack the church people, the Christians inside the church. And I say, by that I know I can trust the church. I can trust this sanctuary, because the devil's not going to play around with something that doesn't matter. Why does he persecute the church? Why does he battle God's people? Why is he attacking the church of God in our country and even the world? I'll tell you why. He recognizes the power, the potential, the possibility of what the church can do. And it scares him to death to think somewhere, some church, some Christians may just get a hold of God. And if they do that, I'm in trouble. The devil's not dumb. And he's not going to waste time against something that doesn't matter to him. He's attacking that that's attacking him. He's attacking that that's trying to overcome him. And because of that, he's fighting against us this morning. He's fighting from without. He attacks. We ought to know that by our leaders. And I'll not comment a lot other than to say this. They've done more to hurt than to help, I believe. They've done more to hinder than to help. But I know this, whether it's government or whether it's people or organizations or what, the outside in this world is attacking and against the church this morning. We need to realize we are not the friend of the world. The world doesn't like the church. And that means the devil doesn't like the church. I'm talking this morning about, can we trust the sanctuary? I say we can because of Satan's persecution. He is fighting from without, but he's also fighting from within. What he can't do without, he'll try to do within. He'll try and put friction among the flock. He'll try and make us critical. He'll try and make us doubt. He'll try and make us unconcerned. He'll try to get us to where we ignore the house of God and we think, oh, I don't need to go today. But I want to tell you something. You do need to go today. I'm glad you're here, by the way. And I'm glad you saw the reason, the need to come to the house of God. The devil wants to fight this church, and he will, and he is. But Jesus said, my church is going to win anyway.